This is August the 26th, 2018. And we're going to start off today by picking up with boundaries. This is going to be part three of boundaries. We were supposed to have a visitor today, but we've had our plans changed. So I'm going to recap just a little bit here, and then we're going to get right into it. Okay, boundaries. The separation of light and darkness. Well, look at the firmament for a minute. This is Genesis 1. Six through ten. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters. Well, the Amplified says the waters below from the waters above. And God made the firmament and separated the waters which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be collected into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the accumulated water he called seas. And God saw that it was good, and he approved it. So we see here that God's boundaries are ordained of God. He's put them in place. We can go on, and we will. So I do a little bit of recap. We will see where there's boundaries all in our world. There's boundaries all in our body. And these are God placed. These are good. Keeping what shouldn't be there out and keeping what should be there in. Protection. Boundaries are protection. Okay. Waters from the waters. Boundaries separated the land from the waters. And this is what boundaries are. Something that indicates or fixes a limit or an extent. Boundaries. Laws are boundaries. Okay. Let's look at some boundaries here. Countries, states, counties, cities, communities, residences. By divine design, we gravitate to this. Corporately and privately, where would we be without them? It would be chaos, an utter state of confusion. What do you think flooding is? Which I'm learning that a lot, like Hawaii, has been sabotaged. They first set off all these volcanoes, and now all this flooding's happened. These are all things. Well, you know what they're doing? It's called the scorched earth policy. It's what they did in World War I. They are ruining the land so that the bad people can come in and strip the land of its resources, take it away from the people. Same thing's going on in Africa with the killing of the white farmers. Well, you know, they kill the farmers, the nation's going to starve. Should we send aid to something like that? No, we should not. They're going to have to stand up and say, no, we're not going to have this. We will not abide by this. We won't do this. But what would prevent that? Boundaries. Boundaries. Laws are boundaries. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:33. I mean, I know Hawaii, they're in a state of disaster and emergency. You know what happens in these emergencies? Maybe I need to speak on this a minute. The Red Cross has been shown to be corrupt. It showed back whenever the flooding happened in Houston. Operation Blessing and I think Samaritan's Purse were the first on the scene. And they said, really, they took care of about 80% of the care of the people there. The Red Cross came in and they caught the Red Cross stealing their stuff. And so through this, they believe, like what happened in Haiti in the Clinton Foundation, that what they did was they came in an area where parents are dead and there's lots of children, so they're taking these kids and they're trafficking them and selling them, and it's all about the money. They've been doing it for a long time. boundaries, a world out of order. 1 Corinthians 14. We're just waking up to the fact that it just isn't just these natural things that are just happening, that they've been engineered, a lot of them. 1 Corinthians 14, 33, there's an agenda being pushed, a renegade spirit. For he is not a God of confusion and disorder, but of peace and order, as in all the churches of the saints. So God is a God of order and peace, not disorder and confusion. Okay, now flip over to James 3. For where there's jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled, and it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial, unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. So God's way is not the way of confusion. When there's confusion, every evil work is present. Boundaries promote peace between countries, between states, between cities, between residences, between individuals, etc. God is the God of free will. He puts his boundaries. I think I got the wrong, just a minute. I dropped this while I got, and I don't know if I got them in the right order. Okay, I guess I do. Okay, God's word are the boundaries in our life that keep us from being like the world. It sets perimeters. Even in the garden, he told Adam, don't touch the tree. But if you do, or when you do, or if you do, this is what will happen. A violation of a boundary is called an infringement. This is what it means to infringe, to encroach upon in a way that violates law or the rights of another. So much of what's happened the last few years has been the left pushing and enforcing, trying to push to the right, infringing on their rights. You know, like the gays. I told you that there's a young woman that is a lesbian, and she openly says so, but she talks about she loves Jesus. She's just got a lot of messed up things in her mind, but she also believes in the alien thing. So she's got a lot of messed up things in her mind, but in her heart, she's right. She says, I would rather have people make fun of me and judge me and treat me unfairly if we could just all have freedom to just live our lives and be the way we're supposed to be. Everyone has their own, like God, he gives us a choice to go our own way or to go his way. But so much of the time from that movement, you see this. Well, we're going to sue you and take your bakery away from you if you don't bake us a cake. Or you don't take a picture of our gay ceremony, we're going to sue you and take your business and everything you have. That's infringement. I think that abortion's wrong and it ought to be something that the individual decides. They stand before God. If you want to kill your baby, then I guess that's something that you'll stand before God about. But for the state to come in and say, do I want to have abortion? No, I don't. But regardless if it's law or not, there are going to be people that will do it. That's why they put it in force in the first place. Because women were taking it into their own hands and finding a backstreet way to do. Boundaries are sacred. And I know as hard as this is to hear today, that freedom of speech means you got to listen to those idiots saying those weird things. That's what free speech is. It's saying you have the right to your opinion, but so do we. If they start censoring, if they censor, that means we're censored. Mm-hmm. Hasn't God always given us free choice to speak what we want to speak? But he said, I won't be mocked. whatever a man sows, that is what he's going to reap? That's your own judgment. By your word, you'll be condemned or acquitted. It's a law. It's a law God has set. He's already fixed a boundary, whether people realize it or not. As Christians living in a world that is trying to control us, Satan's crew, we must learn to keep our perimeters around our life. How does your physical body respond to violation? It resists and defends itself against infringement. Paul talked about the body of Christ and its boundaries. Let's look at that a minute. This is 1 Corinthians 12. It is never right for you to enforce your views or infringement on any other person. Now, in the case of the unmerciful servant, what did the people, when they observed, like the unmerciful servant, he was forgiven a bunch. And so, on down the line, there was somebody owed him something, was a fraction of what he had been forgiven of, but he demanded the payment. And people saw what he did, and they went to the master and told the master, and the master dealt with the unmerciful servant. We don't have to make anybody do anything. If we see something that we think is an injustice, we take it to the master and ask him about it. Lord, if this needs to be dealt with, I just bring it to you, and I trust you to do it. We don't need to say anything. Isn't it so much better when you've prayed about something and the Lord takes care of it and you never had to say a word? Because you know what? When you start saying things, you're really in violation of their boundaries. The Lord just says that, you know, it's before this person, they stand before me, whether they rise or fall, not before you. If we'll learn this, we'll keep ourselves out of a heap of trouble and we'll have to do less apologizing, less repenting. I remember years ago, one of my dear friends had a new daughter-in-law, and she's always saying, I'm trying to talk my husband into this. I'm trying to talk my husband into that. And I remember our friend saying, you don't need to talk him into anything. You just need to take it to the Lord. Good advice. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for good and profit. To one is given and through the Spirit a message of wisdom. I'm going to drop on down here. I don't want to read all of that. First, let's go to verse 12. It says here, for just as the body is a unity and yet has many parts, and all the parts, though many, form one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, baptized into one body and all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one limb or organ, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, but would it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body, would it therefore not of the body? There's a young woman that's come out. I don't know if she's Asian or what she is, but she hates all whites. And so she's got a movement going, I forget the name of it, but it's anti-whites. Yeah. Yeah. If the whole body were an eye, where hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where smell? But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body, each of them just as he wished and saw fit and with the best adaptation. But if we're all a single organ, where would the body be? And now there are many limbs and organs, but a single body. The eye is not able to say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But instead, there is necessity for the parts of the body that are considered the more weak, and those of the body which we consider rather ignoble, or which we invest with additional honor in our unseemly parts, and those unsuitable for exposure are treated with seemliness. So what's happening here? Borders. Each part of the body does its function, but the body honors every part in its own function. It doesn't violate. Okay. We won't violate our space. We don't violate other space. Boundaries is something that indicates or fixes a limit or extent. Not being a Budinsky. Meddling. I didn't really study on this morning. and I'll probably get into it in a later thing, but we need to learn not to meddle. That person stands before the Lord, not before you. And everybody can always look from the outside in and have an opinion and think what you ought to do. Let me tell you, they don't know the real deal. They don't see it clearly because they are not walking in your shoes. You can't judge another man's faith. You don't know where he's been. You don't know what God has said to him or her. You don't know. So you need to keep your meddling mouth out of it, me included. Well, I just think I need to tell you what, why don't you tend to your 50 things and leave their one thing alone? Am I telling the truth today? You know why? Because we get tired of dealing with our own issues and we try to fix everybody else. That's just human, I guess. All right. The firmament enclosed. The land, the boundaries, Genesis 6 through 10, talks about the land boundary and the water boundary. The moon is in its own circuit. The stars are in their own circuit. They're fixed in their boundaries. I want to read Psalms 19 to you. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows and proclaims his handiwork. Day after day pours forth speech, and night after night shows forth knowledge. There is no speech, no spoken word. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, their sayings to the end of the world. Of the heavens has God made a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and it rejoices as a strong man to run his course. So every day, here he comes out of his tent. He makes his circuit every day. And going forth is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the ends of it, and nothing is hidden from the heat of it. So it goes on a circuit, and it manages to hit the whole earth. The moon is on its own circuit. Okay. God said no, devil said yes. Talking about the Tower of Babel. Satan wanted to exalt himself above God. He wanted to entice them to build a city to heaven. He's bound and determined to get back up there where he got kicked out from. Never going to happen. The longest day there is, he will never, ever get any higher than that tabernacle temporarily in Jerusalem. That's the highest he will ever go. Abomination of desolation, he'll step up and he'll say, I'm God, and stop the daily sacrifice. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get men to bust through this firmament today. He's still trying to. Why? He wants to get back up there on the sides of the north. He said he'd be above God. Go read it over there, Isaiah 14, I think it is. That's his goal. Well, he's been kicked out. He no longer has any sway with God or any say. Okay. Satan is always intent on disrupting God's order and violating God's set boundaries. Let's look over at Job 26. Verse 8, he holds the waters bound in his clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. Isn't that amazing? Clouds are just poofs, and they hold water, though. Have you ever thought about that? He has placed an enclosing limit upon the waters at the boundary between light and darkness. The world would be chaotic if it weren't for boundaries. So now you can see and recognize those with Satan's agenda very easily. They violate the rights of others. There is no respect there. God leads. He never drives. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. On and on. Okay. The merging of dark and light, not possible. It is a violation of boundaries. God does not do gray. Let's go read Genesis 1. He even separated the light from the darkness. Light from the darkness, and that's what I want to look at today, is the light from the darkness. Light means luminous. Luminous. See if I wrote what dark. Dark means shadiness or obscurity. What happens in the dark? Shady deals? Obscurity? Obscuring the truth? Okay, let's look at some scriptures. Romans chapter 2, verse 19. And if you are confident that you are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. All right, I just looked at and wrote the scriptures down. I wasn't sure what they said, so we'll go through these kind of quick. All right, Romans 13, 12. The night is far gone and the day is almost here. Let us then drop the works and deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. See, boundaries were fixed in our life when Jesus called us out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We came out of darkness into light. Now we know in Genesis God fixed natural light, natural darkness. He put a boundary between the two. But when it comes to the spiritual birth, we have come out of darkness, the dark nature, into the light, God's nature. Okay, 1 Corinthians 4, 5. So do not make any hasty or premature judgments before the time when the Lord comes, for He will bring to light the secret things that are in darkness and disclose and expose the aims of hearts, that every man will receive his condemnation from God. All right. You know, when we get to that city, it says there's not going to be anyone, no, you know, liars. What are you laughing about? No liars. It talks about those homosexuals, sodomites, liars. They're not going to enter the city. The city that has gates of pearls around it. At least our president is not asking for money to put pearl gates between Mexico and the United States, and you know what I'm saying? But he's got the plan of God. This man has the plan of God in Scripture. That's why the ungodly on the left, or whatever you want to call it, they have the plan of Satan. They think they're going to bust through the firmament and they're going to best God and they're going to take over heaven and sit on His throne. Aren't they a bunch of demented lots? You're talking about crazy to even think. All right, I'm not going to read all of these. I think you get the point. So let's... All right. This was a teaching I did back in October 2015. Boundaries. You've been secluded and shut in, unknown, forsaken, forgotten, so it seems. Just the opposite is the near future. It will be apparent. You will seek that seclusion, and it will be necessary from time to time. See, God puts boundaries around us, and He secludes us. And when He does seclude us, we need to make the best of the opportunity because He's preparing us. And then you'll say, boy, I wish I could go back to seclusion. What happened whenever He came to Moses? The Lord said, I'm sending you to deliver my people. But, Lord, I can't even talk. Well, I'll give you your brother to talk for you. He tried to talk God out of it. Beware of those with whom you associate. They will pull on you to get on their bandwagon. Don't be swayed. Stay with your vision. It will help when your company arrives. It's okay to listen to people and pray for them, but don't take on their burdens. I will give you things for others, but I am the answer for them, not you. Turn them to me. There's times the Lord just won't let me pray, just will not let me pray. And it depends on, usually when it's somebody that's brand new and they know nothing, the Lord will allow me to pray. But if it's somebody I've known for a long time and they're all they do is I feel like an old mother dog, just sucking you dry. No, it's time you to stand up, pray for yourself. You think that's all I have to do? Your spirit is heightened and tender. Guard it. How will you know? I lead. The other is pressure. God doesn't pressure. I lead in peace. The devil pressures. There's times. In fact, we had a situation this week the Lord's working out that I felt like it just went south real quick. And I thought, something right here. I'm used to things going like this, click, grace. All of a sudden it got hard and it was like, It is wrong for others to pull on you. They don't mean harm. They are just so needy. Send them to me. I'll supply their needs. I'm there for them if they come to me. Some relationships are infringing. You know what I'm talking about. That's what it means to infringe, to encroach upon in a way that violates law or the rights of another. They just violate you. They push you further than you're willing to go. You've got boundaries. You know, I was talking about meddling. Boundaries. I'll go this far, but don't you step over that line. Isn't that what boundaries are for? Okay. Yes, Satan will try to get you off of what I've said and sidetrack you. I'm not going to read the scriptures I have here. I'm just going to kind of read. You must learn to keep perimeters around your life. When this pressure comes, resist and say no. Deal with it and it will go. The world and the church are so needy. If you allow them to, they will crush you. Even Jesus' disciples tried to get him go in a wrong way at times. His family came and tried to take charge of him. He disowned them right there in front of everybody. Even Peter tried to say, "No, Lord, you're not going to go to the cross." And he said, "Get the hint, Satan." He called one of his best friends an instrument of Satan. That's pretty strong, isn't it? I was sent to just one at a time, but the need was great. I was sent to just one at times, but the need was great and encompassing. But I had to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But my heart went out to all of them, like the woman with the issue of blood. She came up behind him and touched him. He was dealing with Jairus. There's times it said they pressed him. He felt virtue go out of him, and he turned around. Who touched me? Lord, there's people all around you touching you. He felt power go out of him. I could only help the one I was sent to, not everyone. Jesus wasn't called to any except for a few, but the house of Israel. He wasn't called to everybody. Now, he died for everybody. He's counting on those in Jerusalem to take it. Sometimes it was for all of them. I could only do what the Father instructed me to do. I had no power in myself the same as you. The need got to me also. I would get away and pray. He was a man. I was thronged at times. You won't be able to get people to not pull on you, but I'm telling you this so that you can pull away as you need to. This is what I had to do. You have to learn to discern between pressure and peace. I think this is why a lot of ministers burn out, is because they try to fix everybody and everything. I've known people over the years. I remember sitting in front of a young woman. She just boo-hooing about how much she had to do, and she was just could not say no. She had no boundaries, none. She was doing so much for so many people, she couldn't even take care of her own family, much less anybody else. You will never be all things to all men. Neither was I until I was sacrificed, but that is not required of you. I paid that for all. You're only responsible to the ones I send you to. Others, just send them to me. If they come near to me, I will come near to them. Stay with your call and your vision, and you'll stay on course. Seems anyone I come in contact with for very long stirs me. This is part of the prophetic ministry. You know, I can meet somebody, and I may not have anything at that moment, but the next day when I'm praying, they'll come up, and I'll. This is why you will need privacy at times, because I pick up so much, I get agitated at times. Being in the company of someone who is out of sorts affects me. Counsel and prayer for your own, unless I direct you to otherwise. And otherwise, unless the Lord sends you to someone and you know He has a connection with you, with a person that you're around some, stick with those that He's placed in your life, like me, y'all. I am not obligated to take on everybody. He wasn't either. Encourage others to pray for themselves. They have the same rights, privileges, and authority that you do. I'm not no respecter of persons either. So God will lead you. As you go out in the marketplace, God will lead you and connect you with certain ones to pray for them, interject into their lives. But some He may never. I was effective because I was selective. Effective because they were selective. Why? They followed the Spirit. This is not something we can do in our flesh. Get into big trouble trying to do that. You'll find out the needs of people will absolutely crush you if you're taking it on in your flesh. You can't. The Father assigned and I obeyed. So much of my fivefold ministers are ragged because they have not learned about these boundaries. They haven't learned about boundaries. If you stay within your boundaries, you won't burn out. I give grace where I send. I don't if I'm not directing it. If ministers would do this, they would have the success I had. You can't be and you're not supposed to be all things to all men. There's a lot of people, they're just that type of person. They just want to supply everybody. And I've gotten in a few situations like this where it didn't matter what I did, it wasn't enough. That person had a lot of emotional problems and they just could not be helped. And I just gave till I felt like I couldn't. Okay. Your time alone will help you weed this out. Never base doctrine by experience. I may tell one to do this and never tell you to do it. Did y'all understand that statement? I may tell one to do this and never tell you to do that. Never base doctrine by experience. Your doctrine is the Word of God. You know what doctrines are? The teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody may say, well, the Lord told me to do this. Don't eat pork or never borrow money. Fine. That's their boundary God's placed in their life. But has God said it to you? Well, you know, Brother so-and-so does it, so I guess I better do it. No, you're liable to get yourself in trouble doing it. See, this is what I mean. This part of the body is seeing, or this part of the body is hearing. But that don't mean you jump over there with the ear and try to do the hearing, over with the eye, try to do the seeing. You may be a toe. He told you to go borrow. He told you to go eat bacon. Okay. Do y'all understand what I'm saying here? God fixes the boundaries in your life, not men. Not big ministers that have been doing it for years and years and years and years and years. The church has been booked, seminared to death. If they'd have been in their closet hearing God, getting their own plan from the Lord and doing it, I'm not saying you don't go teach if that's what God sent you to do, but I think we've missed it. We're off spinning their plate, not our plate. And the Lord will stand before me and say, well, I wanted you to do this. Well, I was doing what they were doing. Goes on all the time. Just look at churches today. They all got the same kind of dance teams, and they're smoking the mirrors and all the stuff they do. What are they doing? Following Hillsong. We're all going to be like Hillsong now. Oh, the whole church is doing the purpose-driven life. We all have to do the same Bible study. They've been doing it for years. Trends go through the church all the time. Trends. Home groups. Young E. Cho did it. Their culture, though, was different. God put it there. Did he put it here? I don't think so. But I'm not going to say anything. If God's told somebody to do it, then do it. Come on now. Woo, I didn't mean to get off on all that. It's wrong to take experience and teach it as doctrine. Well, I put it here, borrowing money or eating pork, etc. People always want to take their experiences and build a shrine there. Peter wanted to do it after the resurrection, you know, whenever Jesus come down and Moses and Elijah. Oh, Lord, let's build three huts here. One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. Oh, Lord, help us. There are ministers and churches all over who have done this very thing. The Mormons, for instance, John Smith. An angel came to John Smith, and it went south. Okay. The book of Acts is a book of the experience of the early church. You should not follow the experience, but the doctrine. Love one another, taking the commission, laying on of hands, baptism, salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, walking by faith. These are the things we learn from the book of Acts. But a lot of people would think, well, I got to do what they did. I got to do the acts they did. No, you don't. You need to just take the doctrines of the Word of God and build them into your heart and let the Lord lead you. He may lead you to do things that you won't show up with the book of Acts. That's why it bothers me sometimes that some ministers limit others by putting their emphasis on, well, if you don't do it exactly the way they did it. Since signs would follow us, it didn't say it put some of their signs they saw, but I don't think they could put it all. It says the books about Jesus and what was written, that if it was really put into volume form, it'd fill the earth of the things he did in the 3 years he was here. We just got a little sampling. It's the same as in the Gospels, following my doctrine, not my experience. I obeyed my Father. And we can't say, well, God wouldn't do it any other way because that's the only documented thing. Do y'all get what I'm saying here? I'm not saying go outside the Word of God. I'm saying God will use us and signs and wonders will happen as the Father leads us, the way He led Jesus and the way He led the disciples in the book of Acts. Okay, I think that's all of on this. Okay. All right.